Second Timothy today in the Bible. Second Timothy. I have the title of the message is How to Finish Your Life Serving the Lord, but this is just lesson one. I will have more messages on that probably next Sunday morning. I have 9 points so far, but only four we're going to do this morning. Maybe five this morning. And I want to talk about how to finish your life serving the Lord and not go away from God. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me start at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'm so glad those verses are in the Bible, because Timothy was a pastor, and he told Timothy, God is going to appear and he'll judge us. And you better preach the word. He says, do it when it's appropriate, not appropriate. Instant, all the time. In season, out of season. You as a man of God and as a Christian who has the word of God, you say what needs to be said, whether it's correct politically, whether it's accepted, whether it's like. You say, thus say the Lord, whether you're popular, whether it's in season, out of season, whether it's appropriate time, you just preach the word. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So it says there you're supposed to preach it and reprove people, rebuke them, correct them, rebuke them, which is harshly tell them you need to straighten out, and exhort, encouraging them and entreat them to do right with all longsuffering, patience, and you're going to keep doing it, and doctrine, what the Bible says. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. I believe we're getting toward that time in America now where they will not endure sound doctrine. A lot of people nowadays, they want to hear what they want to hear. But truth is still truth. If a building's on fire and somebody says, I don't want to hear that, well, let me at least tell you so you are warned. And by the way, if you don't believe the building's on fire, it doesn't make the building not on fire. Understand that about truth. The Bible says you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Reality does not change because you do not believe in it. It does not change anything. You say, I don't believe if that car hits me, it'll hurt me. It'll still hurt you. Your lack of belief or what you believe doesn't, if you don't believe in gravity, gravity still works. Okay? The truth is the truth. And except to maybe be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God loves you. There is a God. He created the universe. All these things are established, and God says them. And it's the truth, and preach the word. Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice, they won't endure sound doctrine. They'll endure doctrine, but it's what they want to hear. For they shall, after their own lusts, will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to hear this. Say what I want to hear. Itch my ear. I want to hear something. I hope that when you come to church and when you go to hear and read the Bible and listen to what God says, you don't do it in order to hear what you want to hear, but to hear what God has to say, to hear the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Falsity may feel good, but it doesn't do anything for you. It just makes you feel good about yourself, but it doesn't change your life. It doesn't set you free from sin. It doesn't teach you how to have a good family. Somebody could tell you some crazy doctrine about how to have good children or how to have a happy marriage, and if it's not true, but you say, but I liked hearing that. It's like somebody who's being a terrible spouse, and they come to you for counseling, and you say, well, you're doing this. I don't know. It's not me. It's them. Well, you're perfect, and you're doing great, and your marriage is perfect. I mean, well, you just want to hear what you want to hear to make you feel good, or do you want to hear sound doctrine? They'll heap themselves in the end times teachers that'll say what they want to hear. But we want to hear what the truth is. We can deal with it, and it sets us free. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, win souls, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the great words of God. Thank you for this epic passage in Scripture, 2 Timothy 4. Thank you for Paul, who you used to write it, and then he finished his course. Help us, Lord, to understand some things that we can do. You said not to be ignorant of the devil's devices and be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. And I pray you give us the wisdom today to know how to stay on track and not backslide. Please empower this service. Please speak to us. Do a mighty work in this service. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit be evident and powerful in doing a mighty work. Do the work you want done, above and beyond what we even know needs to be done, Lord. We beg for your power. We beg for your Spirit to move. We ask for wisdom today and help and for you to convict and draw people to you. If someone doesn't know you as Savior, may they come to that joyous knowledge today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, the time of my departure is at hand. I am almost dead. Paul was in prison writing this, and he says, listen, and this is Paul's last stop. Paul ended up at the end. Paul got his head cut off by the guillotine, and this was shortly before he died. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. We don't know, and he didn't know by his writing, you could tell. He says, I know it's close. I know I've been sentenced to execution. I know it could happen any day here. I might make it for a few more months, and you can bring me my cloak for winter. But he says, the time of my departure is here. It's just a matter of when they actually cut my head off. But he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He was confident and ready to die. And one reason he's ready to die is the good thing is he knew where he's going. And so often people don't know if they're going to heaven. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You can know where you're going by the end of this day right now. It's not an arbitrary thing where you hope you're good enough. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. If you'll trust him as your Savior, you know heaven's your home because you know, even though you're not good enough for heaven, you're a sinner just like all of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. You know you have a Savior who died on the cross for your sins to wash away all your sins. And if you trust him, you know heaven's your home because you know Jesus saved you. You're already saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise of God. God never lies. And Paul knew, I'm saved. Jesus washed away my sins. I've done it. Paul was a murderer before. He had murdered Christians. That's what he went around doing. And Jesus Christ came to him and saved him and washed away his sins. He knew he's going to heaven. So that's one thing that helped him a lot in this ready to die thing, is he knew he'd gone to heaven, but he knew that he had done the will of God and he finished what God gave him to do. I have fought a good fight. The devil's got a black eye, got a broken nose, got some bruises and busted ribs, and I fought a good fight. I have fought for God. I've stayed faithful. I've kept in the battle. I've fought a good fight. I've started churches. I've won souls. I've been busy for God. I've loved people. I've helped the needy. I've done miracles. I have fought a good fight. I don't think that's pride in him saying that. This is Scripture. I think he's recognizing at the end, and I think you can look back and see reality of things. I don't think it's proud at the end of the day to say, I did a good job at work. I think you did, if you worked hard. You can also say, boy, I was a bum today. I didn't work hard at all. I think reality is nothing wrong with that. Paul just said, I've fought a good fight. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I've been a good parent. If you have been. And Paul said, I've fought a good fight. That's a fact. I have. I've fought in this thing. And I don't think that's bad for him to acknowledge that. I don't think that's a false pride. I have finished my course. That's the focus of today's message. I've fought a good fight. I'm ready to time my departure is here, and I have finished my course. I've done what I'm supposed to do. My course is finished. I've graduated. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Because of that, henceforth, up in heaven, there's great rewards for me and a crown of righteousness. He finished. Other people in the Bible had talked about this, and they were good examples to us. Paul, what a great example. And by the way, him finishing was amazing because you know what he went through? He said, I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul lost everything for God. Literally down to the clothes on his back, he talks about, I was naked. He lost every piece of clothing, every friend, every possession, his house, his fame, his wealth, his health. His body was full of scars. He got beaten with rods and cat of nine tails over and over again. They took stones and threw them at him until they left him for dead. He was unconscious and maybe even dead. They left him there and walked away after they threw rocks at him until he died. He'd been locked up in prison over and over again for the gospel's sake. He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I got scars all over. I bear the marks of Jesus. Jesus had scars all over. His body was filled with scars, and he had kept the faith. Boy, that's an inspiration to me. I don't ever have to suffer anything like that for Jesus. It's a shame on American Christians who say, I'm not going to church today. I'm just kind of tired. I'm not going to go witness. I'm just kind of shy. That went over good. Boy, the complaining we have in America over the suffering we have to go through for Jesus. Oh, man. And there are Christians in the world, by the way, who still suffer for Jesus. They're in governments that don't allow Christianity. They're in jail. They get murdered sometimes. And we have helped support a pastor's wife. The pastor went to Iraq when it opened up and started 12 churches, and then they killed him. They shot him to death. It happens to Christians. They suffer today, but it's not most of us. It's illegal for them to fire us for being a Christian. We're blessed. We're free. And we our suffering is a little less sleep, maybe a little embarrassment when somebody makes fun of us, and maybe we're tired and we want to do something else and we have to read our Bible. I mean, and Paul, through all of that, finished and never quit on God. He kept the faith. And what a great example. Jesus knew he's going to the cross, and he said in John 17:4, I finished the work you gave me to do. What a great thing. Jesus finished and got all the way to the end. I'm so glad. I've been really blessed. I've had two pastors in my life. My two pastors, one of them died in the ministry, had pastored the same church for 46 years. The other one has been pastoring the same church for 30 years and is pushing 60 now. And I believe, hopefully, God willing, he'll finish in the ministry having kept the faith. I've heard my pastors quit on God. They've stayed. Matter of fact, they've been at the same church for a very, very long time. And I've had that example in my life of people who discipled me. The people who discipled me, people who witnessed to me, my pastor and my best friend, they're still serving God. My friend's a pastor that witnessed to me first and is still serving the Lord. I'm blessed to have people around me, the core people of my life, who have been faithful and never gone back on God. I want to say, though, that's not the case with everybody I've known. There are many people who depart the faith, who backslide, who quit serving God. I visited missionaries and gone to their field across overseas and visited them in the foreign field. And those missionaries are not only no longer in the field, they're no longer in church. They're not serving God anymore. One of the missionaries I visited. Divorced, family fell apart, not going to church, away from God. I've known people, I've went to Bible college who've, and by the way, praise God, most of the guys I was close to and friends with are serving God and in ministries today. But I've known some who've fallen, departed, left God. It's the human race. And I think if you want to stay serving God, you better realize you have that potential to go back on the Lord. Paul said, I'm really glad I didn't. I watched people I love very dearly and been very close to. The devil got something on them. The devil got him. Many people in this room right here, you have gone away from God before and came back. See, because you have an adversary, the devil. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if we don't start with what the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, be very cautious and careful, and understand there's a very powerful demonic force after me to make me backslide, who's way smarter than I am, who's very powerful. If you don't realize that you have the potential, you have flesh and blood, you have bad desires, you can do wrong. Bible puts it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. And I want you to know, I've been serving God 27 years. I've never backslid since I've been serving God. I've never gone away from God. I've never departed from the faith. I've never missed a Sunday of church. Okay, I might have missed one Sunday when I was delirious. I have not missed more than five services in all that time of any midweek, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. I just don't miss church. I've never departed from God. However, I want to say that I could do it this week if I'm not careful. I could forsake the Lord. I could go into sin. The flesh can get me. Some temptation get me. Pride, anger, lust, ramming somebody because they cut me off on the highway. I can do 1,000 things wrong. Okay? I have flesh and blood. We all have that. As a matter of fact, it's not just us today. You're going to find right here in this passage, Bible Christians, people who traveled with the Apostle Paul, who saw miracle after miracle after miracle, who helped start church after church and lived with Paul every single day, departed from the faith. We see in down in verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica." If you follow Demas, Demas was with Paul, traveling, seeing miracles, seeing church. How can you be with Paul? Paul, who physically raised people from the dead. Paul, who healed blind people. Paul, who healed lame people. Paul, who was bitten by a poisonous snake and didn't die. With the power of God on him, starting churches with miracle after miracle. And the Holy Spirit speaking through him. This man who used to kill Christians, who is now the greatest Christian. You travel with him and live with him day and night and see the miracle after miracle. And yet Demas went back on God. Mark also traveled with Paul and went back on God and left the ministry. Fortunately, Mark came back. Can you imagine that? Even Bible Christians. See, you must understand, if you want to finish your life for God, you better be very careful and very sober and very vigilant, very on guard, very careful, because all of us have that potential and nobody wants to, and all of us love the Lord. And thank God more are getting saved and serving God than are going back on God. But any one of us and needs to can do that. I don't know when I'm going to die or when I'm going to go to heaven. Jesus might come back before this service ends and I might be up in heaven. I might have an accident on the way home today. I might live to be 80. I don't know when my departure is. The time of my departure, as far as I know, hope isn't at hand. I like life. I like serving God. I'm happy in the Lord. I want to do a lot before I die. But you know what? It's whatever God wants. If he wants to take me tomorrow, that's his will, and he can do whatever he wants. And my family will be taken care of. And you know what? I can go to heaven tomorrow. That's fine. I don't know when that day is. But I do know when I get to that day, I want to close my eyes and look up into the face of Jesus, and he say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You are faithful to the end. You never went back on me. You stayed in my will for the rest of your life." And I hope you want to finish your life serving God and serving Jesus, because the devil's after you every day of your life. And your flesh and the world draws you away from God. And you got to be very careful. So how do we finish? How do we do like Paul and say, "I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith"? How can we die like that and not having left Christ ever? I think number one we mentioned is realize you can fall. Because I talk to people sometimes and they, "Oh, I'd never go back on Jesus." Be very careful when you say that. Say, "I never want to go back on Jesus," but you better realize you could. You better realize you have it in you. You better realize there are some temptations and you have some weaknesses. And by the way, you're a lot better off if you know your weakness. You say, "I don't have any weaknesses." Well, pride is your first one. Okay? I know my weaknesses. And I wish it was just one. And I'm very careful. I'm on thin ice. I don't go stomping around with my weaknesses. And your weakness might be pleasing people, and your weakness might be the lust of flesh, and your weakness might be pride, and your weakness might be anger, and it might be lust, and it might be 1,000 different things. It might be alcohol, drugs. We all got different weaknesses. But you better know those weaknesses and realize, I could fall. You could find the devil brings the wrong person along in your life, and you've been seeking that certain companionship, and whew, you fall. Let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. I think the very foundation of not falling is realizing you can. To realize, I'm the king of the mountain, you're standing on top of the rock, you better realize there's still some people trying to shove you off that rock. And if you're not watching, they'll get you from behind. And the devil will get you. So realize you can fall. It's in all of us. All of us have the flesh. The flesh is sinful. All of us can fall. Number two, how can we not fall and how can we finish like Paul? I'm going to go through just the things right here that Paul mentions around his life in this passage and just get some things because he obviously did it. We said, number two, don't be moved by hardships. chapter 4, verse 5, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But watch thou, that means be on watch like a guard, in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Paul also tells Timothy in another spot, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure afflictions. Endure means you go through it and handle it and take it. No wonder he didn't backslide. Let me take you to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This is way earlier in his life. You're going to find out why he didn't backslide. He was ready to endure afflictions. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy with the ministry which I have received of the Lord. Look at that. Early in his ministry, he says... I shouldn't say, it's middle of his ministry, far before he's there in 2 Timothy. He says, none of these things move me, and I want to finish my course with joy. And you see the same guy saying that. I want to finish my course with joy. He wants to finish it off. But look what he says, none of these things move me. But watch verse 23. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that my bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, the Holy Ghost told me that bonds, which is jail, and afflictions, which is bad things, hardships, are waiting for me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me. Endure afflictions. Afflictions wait for me. I want to just tell you this. We've dealt with it. I did not realize, it's very heavy in the West Coast. I did not realize until I started witnessing a lot around here and meeting Christians who had backslidden from this, how much the prosperity gospel, health and wealth, God's going to only have good things happen to you, affects people. But I'd go up and I'd be out witnessing, knocking the door, and my name's Joel, I'm from Open Door Baptist Church, I'd like to invite you to church, and hey, do you know for sure if you died, did you go to heaven? Well, I'm a Christian, and you know, I was saved this and this date, and I'd say, man, that's great. Are you going to church anywhere? No, I'm not going to church. God, what you seem really down, what's the matter? Well, God just mad at me, and you know, I was serving God, but then all these bad things started happening to me, and I realized God is mad at me and didn't love me anymore, didn't like me, and you know, I can't go back to church because God's not blessing me, so obviously he's not happy with me. And I start to show a whole bunch of scripture to them. Hey, Jesus didn't go too well for him on earth. He wasn't a bad Christian. The Apostle Paul said, everywhere I go, afflictions. He was beaten. Jesus said, I don't have a place to lay my head down. Paul said, afflictions await me. Endure hardness, Timothy. Endure afflictions as a good soldier. It's coming to you. And sometimes somebody will start serving the Lord and growing, and they get saved. They come to church. They start growing. And all of a sudden, guess what? Of course, Satan starts fighting them. And all of a sudden, trouble comes. And they go, I didn't sign up for this. The parable of the sower says that's going to happen. It says there was a plant that sprouted up, but it didn't have a deep root in itself. And when the sun shone down upon it and the heat beat down on it, it says it withered and died. When that heat was afflictions, it says. Can I tell you? If you serve the Lord and do a great work for God, bad things are going to happen. And you better be ready for it, or you're going to get mad at God. Why did this happen to me, Lord? It's not fair. Life is not fair. If you think that this world is all it's about and God is going to bless you and everything, no one's ever going to be mean to you. And as a matter of fact, you're going to get on I-5 and all the traffic's just going to open up. You're going to have free traffic all the way home because you're a Christian now. I mean, that's just, I'm serving the Lord and nothing goes wrong. I don't even need to change my oil because my car is going to run forever. I can eat bacon burgers and fries every day because you know what? I'm a Christian and nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. I'm never going to gain weight or have clogged arteries. Right. You're in a sin-cursed world. Bad things happen to everybody. Bad things happen to good people. It's part of life. And if you are going to get bitter and angry, you're going to fall away from God. He said, Timothy, endure afflictions. Endure means you go, boom, whoa, that hurt. All right, I'm still standing. That's what it means. You just keep on enduring it. I was right in the will of God, starting this church, serving the Lord, doing God's will for my life. I was at work, working midnights at a trucking company so I could go and support my family because we had nobody coming to church. We had no prospects, nobody. Working a full-time job, working at a trucking company. I would get up that day, normally, after I went home, went to sleep for a few hours, maybe 3-4 hours I'd sleep, maybe 5. I would get up and go door knocking for 5 hours. I was serving the Lord, doing God's will for my life. I was walking out of a trailer and somebody stacked a big crate, big wood crate with a big piece of steel machinery in it, about 500 pounds on its side. And I walked that trailer and when I was walking out, just my little step made that thing wobble and it fell down and the 500 pound crate landed on my Achilles tendon, that little skinny thing in the back of your heel there. And it went through my Achilles tendon and into my nerves and stabbed wood into my nerves and crushed my foot. And I couldn't walk for 3 months. Look at the way I'm leaning right now. Notice the weight is not on this foot because that foot hurts me every day of my life. It's 9% disabled. In the will of God, where God wanted me, doing what God wanted me to do. When they put me... Great doc technology. They didn't call an ambulance for me. My leg is crushed, bleeding, blood's coming out of my boot. They put me on a wood pallet, picked up with a forklift, drove me off the dock, and drove me and then threw me in the guy's truck. As they were driving me out on the pallet, I look up at the guy driving the forklift, and I said, God is still good. Because I didn't want to start with the bitterness thing. God was good when my leg was crushed. God was good when I was feeling good an hour before. The God of the universe did not change in 5 minutes. He's the Lord. He doesn't change. It's the arrogance of humans. My finances fall apart. God is not good. He was good yesterday. So the entire God who created the universe, who said, let there be light, the whole God of the universe who made the entire universe in one day, that God went from being a good God to bad God because you had a financial problem. That's kind of a little bit self-centered there, isn't it? Endure afflictions. He said, but none of these things move me. You better realize that you might get a call tomorrow from the doctor. And it might not be a good report. And if you're going to be moved by these things, it's not going to go good. We need to realize that you might have a car problem or a car accident. I've had more than my share of both. It's life. You cannot be moved by hardships. We said, realize you can fall. Don't be moved by hardships. Number three, don't worry about your life. This is contrary to our nature. Don't worry about your life. Verse 24 in Acts 20, it said, Paul speaking, but none of these things move me, neither count I, my life, dear unto myself. I don't count my life dear unto myself. What a phrase. Jesus said this. He said, he that loses his life shall keep it. He that findeth his life is going to lose it. He that keeps his life will lose it. Jesus lost his life because his life was not dear to himself. He says, my life is a tool for God. If he must let me die... My life isn't dear to me. The will of God is dear to me. If God chooses for me to martyrdom, if God sends me on a mission trip, and in that mission trip, God says, I will glorify myself and see more souls saved if you pass, my life should not be so dear that I would say, no. But I'd say, take my life, Lord, whatever you want. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. If you want to, somewhere along the way, the devil's going to make you say, mine, my life, my time, my relationships, my money, my priorities. And if you are the priority and you and your life and what you want is a priority, the devil will get you eventually. He's got a hook in your mouth. It just matters when he's going to reel it in. It's not your life. It's not your life. Neither count I my life dear unto me. Even in death, he didn't care. I hold not my life dear unto me. I just want to finish my course with joy and finish a ministry which I received of the Lord. I don't care what afflictions and bonds await me. And that's one reason he finished. Number next, and really one that's probably the most important one that we deal with in America because we're not being martyred. Do not get offended. Do not get offended. Let me take it back to... Let me take it back to Acts. Second Timothy. Do not get offended. Second Timothy. I guarantee you, in a church this size and this morning, there are people right now who are offended. Not at what I'm saying right now, but they're offended in life. And once you're offended, there's so much danger there, and we'll get to a couple of verses that. Watch what Paul said. And I want to say this, especially by people. Especially by people. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. He said, you're going to get people who are going to depart from the truth. Don't get offended at them. That's between them and God. Can I tell you this? I'll preach what the Bible says today. We'll use lots of Bible and preach it. It's not my issue whether you like it or accept it or not. That's not my issue. As long as I'm not offensive or rude or mean, as long as I speak the truth in love, that's between you and God. Someone here says, that's wonderful, and thank God, I want to do what God wants. Awesome, but that's not me. And if somebody says, I hate that, that's terrible and evil, I don't want to do that, that's not me either. Don't get offended. If you go witness to your relative and they, I don't want to hear that stuff. You tell them about the Lord, they don't want to hear it. Don't get offended at them. Don't hate them. It's not you. Everybody's got to make a choice between them and the Lord. Don't get offended at people because people reject the truth. We could have America turn away from God and we are laughed at and mocked and everything else. Don't hate people. People have free wills. Don't get offended. Do not get offended when people reject the truth. Don't get offended when people let you down. Chapter 4, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Paul needed Demas, and Demas abandoned him. Abandon him. People are going to abandon you in life. And people are not the people you expect to do it. If you haven't experienced it yet, just tuck those words somewhere. And if you're going to get so furious at them and so offended at them, you're going to think about them all day long, the devil's going to keep you from serving God. I'll never forget, my dad abandoned me when I was 4 and alcoholic, and never saw him again. he called me until I was 12 once a year. I went, and then I tried when I was, I don't know, 5 years ago. My dad was an alcoholic and he ended up homeless a lot. Very hard to find. Tried to find him several times throughout the years. One day on the internet, I found an address for him, which I'd never seen. So I just asked my oldest son, I said, let's go see if we can find your grandpa. I could have walked by the street and not known him. So off we went on a trip, on an adventure to Boise, Idaho, hopped in a plane, went there, went to the place, couldn't find him, started doing all kinds of searching, hired a PI, and just we worked on it for several days, couldn't find him. I told someone later, they were telling about how their parents had abandoned them and stuff like that. And I said, you know, my dad left and I also remember my dad is him dropping me and giving me this big scar on my forehead and my brother breaking a beer bottle over his head. That's all I remember with my dad. But we went to go look for him and they said, why do you want to find him? And I said, well, I'd like to tell him how to be saved. And, you know, he'd probably like to know he has a bunch of grandkids. I think I'm his only kid, as far as I know. Who knows? I was his only kid. I said I would like to meet him and reach him. I don't even know what he looks like. I don't even know anything. I would like, and my mom won't talk about him. And I would like to try to win him to Christ and see what we can do for him, honor my father. And they said, I don't think you really wanted to find him. I said, yeah, I did. But did you really want to find him? I said, yes. Well, I know you went there, but did you really want to find him? I said, yeah. They said, I don't think you really wanted to find him. I said, you've been talking to a psychiatrist, haven't you? Because there's no Freudian deep thing here. I really wanted to find him. You don't know me. I don't spend money if I'm not doing something important. And I bought 2 plane tickets and a hotel room and a rental car. It better be important before I'm doing that. Amen, Michael? That's us. We don't spend money for nothing. Golf, that's different. That's spiritual. And it's enjoying God's creation. And so the beautiful trees and birds and grass, that's of God. And I wanted to find him. I'm not going to get bitter at my dad for abandoning me. He was in bondage to the sin of alcohol. He needed someone to deliver him. I would like to have been that person. We cannot get bitter at people. The reason they abandon you is, or the reason they hurt you, or the reason they do wrong, understand, is because of sin and because the devil's got them. I was driving this shuttle this morning, picking people up, had 14 kids on my shuttle, pulled over and got my last stop. And at my last stop, I was right up here, 30th Avenue. I was driving out of the parking lot, just started going, and this lady just stomps up to the shuttle, stomps up and stops me. This is this morning. Something to me. She starts screaming at me. What are you doing? Those kids are standing in your bus and you're moving. She was yelling at me this morning. This morning. I threw some hot coffee on her and drove. No, I didn't. And I said, and after she got all done, I've been driving a bus for 25 years. I've never had an injury. Okay, we were moving a half of mile per hour. I was going around a corner in a shuttle in a parking lot, and some kid in the back was standing up looking out the window. I looked up and I saw a little boy. Little boy who always likes to stand. He was standing up looking out the window, and we're moving literally a half mile per hour. And I said, "Okay, thanks." So I said to her, "Okay, thanks." She goes, "Ah!" I started yelling at me again. She goes, "I'm taking your license plate down and calling the police on you." I said, okay, have a great day. And I drove off. Now I'm bitter at her and I hate her guts. But I could have started yelling back. I find it best to get away from those people. Okay, thanks means, that's what it means, okay? I got to come into church. I got to preach. I'm not going to sit here and let her ruin my day. Amen. I might bump her a little bit with this shuttle, but I'm not going to let her ruin my day. I'm not going to let her ruin my day. I want to tell you, if you're going to live your life, I can't believe they said that to me. Okay. Live your life that way. And your blood pressure goes up here and you're angry at people all the time and you're snapping at people and everybody walks like this around you. How are you? Why? Because you know, people offend you. People are going to treat you wrong. People are going to be wrong about you. They're going to accuse you wrong. Can I name all the things? They're going to accuse you wrong. They're going to abandon you. They're going to not be there when you need them. You're going to take care of them and help them out in their time of need. They're not going to help you in your time of need. Give me the whole list. Okay? If you're going to live your life offended when people let you down, abandon you, all the stuff they're going to do, they're going to do. They're humans. Then you're going to have a bad life. And you're going to be bitter. And you're going to be angry. And you're going to live your life angry at people. And you're going to snap all the time, and it's not a way to live. Just throw coffee at them and drive away. Especially by people. Chapter 4, verse 14. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, but I'll let the Lord take care of it. The Lord reward him according to his works. Let the Lord take care of them. Vengeance is mine, not yours. Psalm 119, verse 85, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. He knew he was treated wrong, but he kept his eyes on Jesus. Watch, look at these verses here. 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. That includes his co-laborers, his people who were in the ministry with him. They all abandoned him because he's about to get beat up. He said, nobody stood with me when the crowd and mob was coming. Did he get bitter? No, watch what he kept his eyes on. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Stephen is being murdered by people and they're stoning him to death. And he says, Father, forgive them. Lay not the sin to their charge. Jesus was, they were gambling over his clothes and laughing while he's being crucified. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Jesus can overlook the sins of others when they're crucifying him, maybe I can handle a lady saying, you need to have those kids sit down. Or your daddy wasn't there for you, your mommy who did this, or your uncle who molested you. Or the person who won't, or your child who stole your stuff and sold it to the pawn shop. Or whatever stories I can give you about people who've happened in this room. If you want to get offended, you can get offended. But God, Bible people said, Lord, forgive them. Lay not the sin of the charge. Lord, you deal with them. I'm just going to go on and live. Because what he did is he put his eyes on Jesus. Verse 17, notwithstanding, though no man stood with me, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. He said, the Lord stood with me. He kept his eyes on Jesus and not on man. And if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you don't get bitter. He'll never let you down. People are going to let you down. People are going to hurt you. People are human. I might let you down. I might fall and ruin my life and do a bunch of bad things this week. I'm a human. You better not serve God because of me. You better serve God because of him. Better keep your eyes on Jesus or you're going to fall. The devil's going to get you with that bitterness. Hebrews 12:15, it says, you better get rid of that bitterness, lest a root of bitterness spring up in you and thereby many be defiled. See, what bitterness is anger that gets a root in you. You can take a dandelion and throw it in the concrete out there. It's not going to do any damage. It's when it gets a root. And when anger gets a root in you and it stays there, it turns into bitterness and then it's defiling you. That's what the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Get it out of your system that day. Because if it festers, it's going to turn into bitterness and it's going to come out eventually and the devil uses it to destroy you. If you do not want to fall, realize you can fall. If you want to finish your course for joy, do not be moved by hardships. Don't worry about your life. Don't get offended, especially by people. You will find out that if you keep your eyes on Jesus and realize the condition that man is in, which is fallen, what you'll learn to do is love Jesus a whole bunch more. Because, you know, I've been serving the Lord this whole life, and I got a heavenly Father who never abandons me. I've learned that people disappoint you. Somebody will come to me and say, Pastor, you're the greatest pastor in the whole world. Love your messages. God, love this church, the greatest church in the whole world. And boy, the devil get hold of them in 1 week, and I'll be the bad guy by the next Sunday. I didn't even talk to them. And, you know, I have changed a whole bunch. That's humorous. That's worse than me wasting money. Me changing a week, I don't change anything fast. I'm the slowest mover in the world. If I seem like a good guy and a bad guy in a week time, there's something wrong with you. I tell you that because I am a fault to how little I change. Sometimes I need to change more. Sometimes I need to change faster. But they get bitter in a week, and I just got to say, you know, Lord, I'm so glad you don't change that much. Lord, I've messed up with you 1,000 times, and I have. I am so unworthy of God's goodness, and I'm so glad that he doesn't give up on me like some people might. You learn to love Jesus a whole bunch more when you realize that people are fallen, but you keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll suddenly say, God, I'm glad you'll always be there and you'll never change. Because all of us can and all of us can fall and people disappoint you. Last thing I want to say just in today's message on how to keep serving the Lord till you die and never backslide. And there's a lot more points. You better be here next Sunday morning so you can get them if you don't fall this week. Next is don't fall in love with this world. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We had a good service this morning in Sunday school. I talked about eternity. I talked about the end and the 1,000-year reign of Christ and Jesus coming back and the new heaven and a new earth and what heaven will be like and all the things that will happen. And we're going to talk in Sunday school next week about the thousand-year reign of Christ at 10 o'clock, if you can come. But it's going to be awesome. We get so attached to a world, it's all going to burn. We worship bodies, and these bodies are getting old and going to die. We worship money that's printed with phony numbers, and it's all going to be gone someday. You can go buy yourself a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, a Bentley, whatever you want. It ain't going to last that long. You drive with a lot, you lose $20,000. And then somebody wrecks into you. This world, Demas said, I'm tired of the struggles. I'm tired of the battles. I'm tired of people not liking me. I want to be liked. I want to have things. I want things to go smoothly. I'm leaving, Paul. I want this life to be good. And he left God because of it. You know, you better live for the next 10,000 years. When you die, when you're in heaven for millions of years, not much in this world is going to matter a whole bunch. You can't take it with you. There's no use living for it. Love the song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." This world just doesn't matter. And it seems so important that you're popular. It seems so important that you have nice things. It isn't that important. I was talking to my kids, and I was, you know, with several teenagers, and I was talking to them and somebody else. I was laughing because there's that stage where you think everybody's looking at you, and you got to dress just right. And every time there's a mirror, you got to, you know, you're like walking along. It's like, "Oh, mirror. Oh, let me check." I mean, you got to check everything because you think every single person's looking at you, and everybody's going to notice. You know, your collar is, you know, a little flipped up. You think the whole street stops and goes, "Oh, his collar's messed up." I mean, that's the way you think at a certain age. I mean, you think that. You think everybody's looking at you. Then you pass that stage, and you don't even care if anybody looks at you. Matter of fact, don't even look at me. I'm doing something. I don't want to be bothered. And pretty soon, your wife's telling you, "You know you have one blue and one black sock on? Because you don't care anymore." And there's that stage where you're normal. There's the crazy bachelor who, you know, wears his pajamas and slippers as Fred Meyer. You know, there's that guy. Hope that's none of you. Care somewhat for self-respect's sake, but not for this world. You're all talking to each other. Are you the ones? I'm talking about you. But you know, at a certain point, at least where if you're wearing pajama bottoms, if they're striped this way, don't wear a different pajama bottom striped this way. Okay. But when you go and all of a sudden you say, "I don't really care about that anymore." Remember when you're young? I want a 67 Mustang Fastback 302, boss. You want all these cars. Then after a while you're like, "I just want a car that runs." I mean, after a while, some things that were so important to you. You know, when you're young, "I'm never going to get out of shape. I'll always have muscles and be in tone and just like that." All of a sudden, one day you're like, "The kid just called me fat. I'm going to kill him." And he didn't even care. I mean, you're just like, "I'm fat. Oh, I am fat. Huh, I didn't even notice." Because there's all these things you thought were so important, they just kind of not that important anymore. After a while, you just, "You know what, it doesn't matter anymore." And in eternity, how much more are you just going to get to heaven and say, "Was I really worried about that? And that person like me and those people being popular with them and making that much money and having all those things? And why was I worried about that stuff?" They used to, a long time ago, they used to capture monkeys. What they would do is they would put a jar out in the forest shaped like a vase. And in that jar, they'd put a little sparkly thing, a little shiny thing that couldn't quite fit out of the jar lid. They'd cram it down in there, and they would tie it with a rope or a chain to this jar over to a tree over there, and the monkeys would go and they'd pick up the jar and they'd look and see the shiny thing in it. They'd try to shake it out and they couldn't get it out, and they'd eventually reach inside to grab it, and they grabbed it, their fists would be too big now to get out of the bottleneck. And then they'd walk out there, the hunter, to capture the monkey. He'd walk out there with the club, and the monkey would go and try to get away, but the monkey would never let go of the thing. because it had its shiny thing. And it'd be pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and just yanking. And the guy just walk up to the club, thump. My hunky's hand would go loose, pull a monkey away, go throw it in whatever cage he had, come back again, look for the next monkey, because they'd never let go of it. Because they had to have the shiny thing, even if it killed them. And that's how the devil gets a lot of us. We've got to have these things in this world. And Jesus says, let go of it. Come, forsake all, follow me. No, this is too awesome. It's too incredible. The devil walks up and clubs you and destroys you because you wouldn't let go of a relationship, a love of money, a desire for comfort, because you couldn't get up on Sunday morning. Because you just had to have the thing you wanted. Because you had to have a few. Because you couldn't give up your little habit. And the devil destroys you. See, the devil's got a lot of tricks, and you better be careful, because you want to die in the will of God. And there's a lot of people who stay faithful unto death. Paul did, and he had everything against him, but he was focused, and he said these things. Demas loved this present world. I don't count my life dear unto me. I just want to get to heaven and have God pleased. I'm not going to get offended though people have beat me and left me and abandoned me. I'm not offended. God's good. And my eyes are on Jesus. I'm not worried about my life. I'm worried about the Lord and His pleasure. I don't let these hardships move me. I expect them and keep on going. And I realize I can fall. And if we can do these things, those are just things Paul specifically mentions, then I think we can have a good start on finishing in the will of God. Not a few good years of serving God, then just kind of going back into the world. Enough of the drifting back into the world. You left it for a reason. Stay in the will of God. Serve unto death. And my prayer in my life is just, I've got to keep on going till the trumpet blows and I go up to Jesus, or the last thump goes and I'm in heaven. Either way, I want to finish. And I'm very weak and I could fall. So I got to follow God's directions to do that. Let's pray. Father, I pray we'd be in your will. I pray to be faithful unto death. I love those words. What a great thing to be getting ready to face the executioner, saying, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Scarred all over his body, chained up, yet he never, ever got angry at you, never backslid, never went back from his decision to follow you. We got a million things to get us, God, a million things the devil tries. In a world that has lots of shiny things, I pray that we would not get backslidden, Father. Lord, it could happen to any one of us any minute. Any one of us can get some anger in their heart today. Lord, any one of us could go and get attached to something of this world too much. Any one of us today can get proud and think they can't fall. I pray, Lord, every one of us would be able to say, I've finished the work you gave me to do. Stay in your will. And be strong in this. Lord, I pray if somebody else doesn't know you as Savior, they'd receive you as Savior today. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this great passage and what it teaches us in Jesus' name. As about our eyes are closed,